Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the purpose and the power of praising God continually. We're instructed in Scripture to praise God continually. That means 24/7. Why? Well, number one, it glorifies God. We've been created to do it. And two, praise opens the door to God's power in our lives like nothing else does. Praise is actually the voice of faith. When you praise God for His help before you see it, that's faith. See, what's faith? Not sight. When you praise God for something you can't see before you see it, you're expressing trust in God, confidence in God, faith in God, and God works in our lives by grace through faith. We can fight our battles with praise. Praise is a strength that stops the enemy and stills the avenger. By praise to God, I'm not talking about music, although music is one way to praise God. I'm talking about acknowledging God. Praise in its most basic form is talking about what someone has done, who they are, and what they've done. To praise someone means to extol their virtues by talking about their character and their actions. To praise God means to talk about who He is and what He has done. Now, we're looking at an incident in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 where the nation of Judah, which was actually the southern half of the kingdom of Israel, Judah, the king at the time was Jehoshaphat. They were about to be attacked by three enemy armies that had banded together. It was an overwhelming situation. It was actually an impossible situation. But they praised God. They fought this battle with praise and defeated their enemy. We looked at it a little bit last week, and I want to jump back into it and examine some more details here. Now, Jehoshaphat and Judah responded to their situation with praise to God. That didn't come out of a vacuum. It was not a technique they used to get results. See, I know probably many of you are facing impossible situations, are overwhelming odds, and you're desperate. I understand that. I've been there. And sometimes when we're desperate, we're looking for the technique that'll solve the problem, the rabbit's foot we can rub, or the ruby slippers we can click together and end the trouble. And then we're flipping on Christian TV and Christian radio trying to hear the one sentence that'll solve the problem. I wish it worked like that, but it doesn't. Real help and real transformation comes through your view of reality. That's a whole lesson for another day, but let me make the point in connection with these guys. They weren't standing there facing an enemy army and said, "What can we do? What should we do? I know. Let's praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord." Did anything change? Are we safe yet? No, there was a whole process that brought them to the point of being able to fight this battle with praise. So let's look further at how they handled this potentially catastrophic situation and the process they went through that brought them to the point where they were able to fight this battle with praise. We pointed out last week, Jehoshaphat and Judah didn't deny the problem they were facing or the feelings generated by the problem. Now, I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's 30 verses long, so I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to hit a few key verses. When the king got news of what was coming, these three enemy armies, verse 3 says, Jehoshaphat feared. He was afraid. Well, he had every reason to be. This huge army is coming against him. Let me read verse 12. It says, "We don't know what to do." They didn't know what to do. They're not, see, like I said, we have reduced faith to just don't talk about the problem or pretend everything's okay. That's not faith. That's pretending. No, Jehoshaphat was afraid, and they did not know what to do. But in the face of their fear and the face of not knowing what to do, they did something critical, and this is very important. They didn't start out with the problem. They started out with the solution. They set their focus on God and began to magnify him. Jehoshaphat the king gathered everybody together. He proclaimed a fast, gathered everybody together, and he prayed. I'm not going to reread the whole prayer in the interest of time. It's verses 6 through 9 here. Verses 6 through 9. He started out with the bigness of God. The first thing he did was talk about God, who is above the heathen in the heavens. Well, let me read it. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? He started out with the bigness of God. He started out talking about how big God is. You're above the heavens. You rule over the heathen. See, this is the problem here. Something's coming against them that's bigger than them and the resources they have available to them. So instead of talking about the problem, he begins to talk about the bigness of God. Then he goes on in the next verse to talk about how in the past, God, you helped us drive enemy tribes out of this land. You helped our forefathers drive enemy tribes out of this land. Well, that's exactly the situation they're facing. Enemy tribes are coming against them. But Jehoshaphat remembers, hey, God helped us with this kind of thing in the past. He's already done it. We know his track record. And then he goes on to talk about the building of the temple, Solomon's temple, and the fact that when the temple was built, it was declared that if ever my people face a problem, whether it be an enemy army attacking, whether it be disease or famine, if we stand before his house, his temple, he will hear it. When we stand before his temple and look to him for help, he will hear and he will help. So Jehoshaphat started out with the bigness of God. He's bigger than the problem. He recalled God's past help to them in a similar situation, and then he recalled God's promise to help them in the future. He magnified God. See, Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, they already had that psalm. It was written by the time this incident occurred. They and we, you and me, are instructed not to forget God's benefits. The fact that we're exhorted not to forget his benefits means that it's possible that we will forget. Would you agree with that? I mean, the fact that the Bible has to tell us don't forget God's benefits means we might tend to forget his benefits. See, because we were created to live in a physical world, we have a tendency to gravitate to what we see and feel. So when a huge problem comes your way, you see it. And then you feel the emotions generated by that problem. And the result is we see and feel the problem as much bigger and more powerful than God because we can't see or feel God. The problem seems bigger than God. And in that moment, it's very easy to forget God's benefits. We have to counteract this natural tendency based on what we see and feel in the moment, making the problem look bigger than God and leading us to forget God and his benefits. We've got to counteract this natural tendency by making an effort to direct our attention to God. Often going to God for help is the last thing people do. Even Christians, going to God for help is the last thing Christians do after they've exhausted every other natural avenue. I've had people tell me, you know, somebody gets hurt, and I ask them, well, did you pray? And they say, oh, no, we didn't have time to pray. We had to call 911 and wait for the ambulance to get there. I'm not saying don't do those things, but I'm telling you what, the first thing you need to do is pray. You need to look to the bigness of God. You need to look to the bigness of His power. You need to look to His past help and His promise of present and future help. See, He needs to be the first place we go. And on top of that, we all have a tendency to magnify the problem. In the moment, we magnify the problem. You magnify things by talking about them. Most of our conversation in prayer starts with how big the problem is and how bad we feel about it. And the more we talk, the bigger the problems get and the bigger the feelings get. See, Jehoshaphat, go read his prayer. He didn't say a word about the problem until he had magnified God, until he had talked about how big God is, until he had talked about God's past help, until he had talked about God's promise of future help. We start with the problem. Many of our prayers begin with, oh God, this is terrible. How could you let this happen? Why did this happen? See, what if Jehoshaphat here, the king, had kept going on and on about how big the enemy army was and about how small we are compared to them? What if he kept rehearsing in his mind how awful the situation is? What if he fixated on, I can't believe these people are coming after us after the kindness we've shown them? This is a whole can of worms for another day. But one of the enemy armies was from Edom. And when Israel first came from Egypt to the land of Canaan, the land God gave them, they wanted to pass through Edom to get there. Well, Edom wouldn't let them come through. And instead of destroying Edom, Israel abided by their wishes. And now here's how they repay us. They come at us again. See, had Jehoshaphat talked about the bigness of the problem rather than the bigness of God, the problem would have gotten bigger. And God and his help would have gotten smaller and smaller, and the door to God's help would be closing. Do you get the point I'm making? When you magnify God, number one, you glorify him, and number two, he gets bigger in your eyes, which increases your faith and trust, which opens the door to his help in your situation. Now, talking about the problem and magnifying it, it seems right because that's how we feel and that's how things look. And our mind races to try to figure things out and find a solution. That doesn't mean there aren't times when we do talk about the problem and try to figure out a solution. But you need to be honest. Am I magnifying the problem or am I magnifying God and his power by the way I talk? More tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.